Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast that helps you sculpt your dreams into reality. For this episode, we are going to be talking about how you can use your practice to protect your relationship from what I think is one of the biggest relationship killers. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, everyone, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for clicking on the podcast to check out the content. This podcast presents a psychotherapist and Zen Buddhist perspective on the mind and how it manifests your moment-to-moment reality. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you master your reality, master your life through mastery of your mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. Now, we have a few series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism, we have our Zen stream on Sundays, and we have episodes like today that I try to throw in on related topics, things related to, I don't know, manifesting, maybe something having to do with psychotherapy, mental health. That is my background, for those of you who are new here. Been a psychotherapist now for about 16 years. Working with many, 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 many different people throughout the years, basically to change and to live happier lives, be more at peace, improve relationships, so on and so forth. So without any further ado, let's jump into today's topic. Now, this came about, it's kind of interesting. I began working with a patient recently, in the last few weeks, actually. And he came in basically related to, the matter was related to his relationship with his wife. And he is just a perfect example, or the situation, not him, but the situation between him and his partner, his wife, is such a perfect example of what I think, it, like I said in the intro, is one of the biggest relationship killers. And it was like a textbook example, you know, and I thought, gosh, you know, I hadn't really worked with someone on a specific relationship issue for quite a while. And it basically brought up a lot of memories from previous people I've worked with. And I thought, you know, this may be something, that I can talk about on the podcast and hopefully, help somebody out there possibly who may be struggling with a similar kind of issue. And that's basically the inspiration behind this podcast. So I'm going to start a little broad here, and I do want to kind of, as we move along through this, start zoning in on the specifics and also share with you how our already existing practice, which is something that most of my content here on the podcast is about and on the YouTube channel, how it can help with this kind of matter in your relationship, if it exists. And I think safe to say maybe 95% of all relationships have a little bit of this. So let me just start out with a little bit of a disclaimer there. They have a little bit of this, but if it gets to be too much, you know, just like anything, then it could start to really, you know, cause some negative things to happen and for the relationship to fall apart. So I'm going to start, like I said, broad. What I'm going to talk to you about is our relationship as individuals to our own emotions, our own feelings. So we obviously have a broad range of emotional experiences. I mean, emotional experiences are so varied, right? There's probably thousands, millions of emotions that we can feel. Either one specific emotion or a combination of a couple of emotions. You know, our emotional experience is one of our greatest gifts, and it's also something that could cause a lot of discomfort. And one of the things that I talk a lot about here on the podcast, maybe not using these exact words, but it is, I believe, implied, is that part of our practice is learning how to work with our own emotions, our own feelings. So if you're looking at this from a meditative perspective, a Zen perspective, a mindfulness perspective, You can say in very, very simple terms, like a simple way to put it, is part of our practice is allowing feelings to come and to go, not to cling, not to, react. I guess that's the best word. Not to react so like knee-jerk, not have such a quick knee-jerk reaction to our own emotions. That's not to say that we ignore our emotions or that we pretend they don't exist. That's the other extreme. But what I'm saying is that we have to develop a balance with our emotions. Many times our emotions, our feelings, I believe they are communication, right? To our ego minds, I guess you could say, to our personalities, giving us information about the current moment, right? And possibly giving us clues as to things that we need to change and possibly giving us clues into things that maybe we need to accept. I believe it is a form of communication. It's always, emotions are always communicating something to us. And it's very important to learn how to listen to our own emotions in a healthy way, in a balanced way, and at the same time in a way that guides our actions, what we're going to do next, right? So it's so cliche to say this, but there's a time and place for everything, right? And so we have times where our emotions, for example, maybe fear or anxiety or even possibly anger to some extent, as long as it's a healthy expression of anger, guides us to take action, to do something to better a situation, either for ourselves or for someone else. And that is the appropriate action. But then there are also times where you're experiencing emotions and there's really no action to take, right? The purpose of that emotion or what is needed as a way to cope with that emotion is simply to not react, not do anything, right? And just allow the feeling to be there. And I believe, and we're now slowly starting to zone in on what we're going to talk about with relationships, is that typically, I would say, statistically speaking, most people, I'd venture to say close to 80, 90% of people, we don't have that much of a problem with feeling an emotion and taking some sort of action as a reaction to that emotion, right? So as I was just describing, fear, anxiety, anger, we're very quick, right? We're very quick to say, oh, I don't like this feeling. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to, you know, take these steps. I'm going to change how I'm thinking. I'm going to tell so-and-so. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, right? Something like that. We're all pretty good at that. Doesn't mean the action is always good. Doesn't mean the action is always productive. Sometimes it could actually be counterproductive. But my point is that we have a strong tendency as human beings to, when we feel something, especially when it's something uncomfortable, I want to talk specifically about that because it applies much more to relationship stuff. When we feel something uncomfortable, something that we don't like, you can say that many people, not all, many people start actually taking, in a sense, desperate actions to make that feeling go away. We hate it. We hate feeling out of control. We hate feeling helpless. We hate feeling sad. We hate feeling fearful. We hate feeling worry. We hate all these feelings that are uncomfortable, that are not pleasant. We try to get rid of them as quickly as possible. And while, like I said, time and place for everything, there are certain actions we can take to better situations that cause those emotions. In many cases, sometimes just allowing the feelings and remaining mindful and not reacting so much to it is really the only thing you have to do, right? So perfect example, and I'm going to go with a very extreme example here because just to really drive this home, but I realize that this is a very extreme example, okay? So many times I've worked with individuals who've experienced grief, loss of someone that they loved. And in those situations, right, you talk to any therapist, the most important thing is to allow the person space to grieve, right, to feel those painful feelings, to just process them, to express them, to share them, and to just, basically, in a nutshell, purge them out, right? It doesn't make It doesn't mean that the pain goes away by doing that, but again, you learn how to relate to those feelings in a healthier way. But what I've seen happen a whole lot is that individuals find those feelings so painful and so overwhelming that they start compensating. They start developing, you know, weird kind of thoughts, beliefs, or behaviors to avoid dealing with those uncomfortable feelings. And I've seen it range from, you know, getting angry, like blaming, oh, if only the hospital did this, or if only the doctor did that, or, you know, or they turn it into guilt. Oh, I should have told them this, I should have told them that, you know, and all these types of thoughts, instead of just feeling the natural response, which is maybe some sadness, some grief, some loss, and all those other issues. They may be issues that need to be addressed, okay? Maybe the hospital did mess up, maybe, but what I'm saying is that going after the hospital and getting that matter corrected does not erase the feeling of loss, the feeling of grief, the feeling of sadness, right? It's apples and oranges. So you can do what you need to do, you know, related to a hospital situation or whatever. That's fine. That's important. That, I'm not saying that should be disregarded. But what I'm saying is that fixing that does not erase the pain of the loss. And we need to deal with both, okay? But again, you find many people that focus so exclusively on what they can feel more control over. So the anger, taking some kind of action to correct something, there's a little bit more sense of control in that kind of direction, as opposed to just sitting there and just feeling all these very painful feelings that feels very, very loss of control, okay? Now, that is in a very, very condensed form, just a little bit of information on how we, again, as human beings, as individuals, tend to sometimes, like I said, react to emotions in a way that is not always the most productive, okay? And I see that day in and day out as part of the work that I do and that I've done for many years. Now, I want to talk to you now about how this can become so amplified in a relationship, and then start to talk about how we can address it in a relationship. But first, let me just pause here for one moment for a word from a sponsor, and I'll be right back. All right, thank you for your patience. I am back. So, as I was just talking about, we have a, for lack of a better word, a relationship to our own emotions and how we react to our own emotions. And I believe one of the best benefits of having a strong meditation practice, whether you're doing it through just pure, you know, mindfulness, whether you're doing a Zen-style meditation, whatever kind of meditation you use, what begins to happen if you're consistent with it is that you begin to just react less quickly and less strongly to your own emotions. And this could help in, it's needless to say, it could help in a myriad number of ways, because you will just have a less, you will become less activated, so to speak, by strong emotions. And when you are less activated by them, you know, unless we're talking about emergency situations, of course, but the less you're activated about them, the more you're able to kind of hold them in perspective, maintain a certain degree of peace within, in spite of the emotion. It's almost as I've often heard it said by certain Zen teachers that your center becomes very strong. So it's almost like an anchor that's in you that becomes very, very strong. So emotions can come. You feel them. That doesn't mean you ignore them or you pretend they're not there. You feel them. You feel them fully, but they don't knock you off your rocker, so to speak, okay? They don't have the power to lift that anchor and sway you wherever they want so that you're taking all kinds of actions out of impulse, out of desperation, which oftentimes leads to counterproductive sorts of behaviors. Now, we got to talk about how this starts to bleed into relationships, because this is where, if there's an issue like this, it can become amazingly amplified in a relationship. Because here's what starts to happen. As two people get together, and let's just say, to keep this a little simple, okay, I don't want to overcomplicate this, but let's say that you have two people that get into a relationship, and one person they're very reactive to their own emotions, right? They don't have a very strong meditation practice. Maybe they had a difficult childhood. Maybe a difficult period of their life. And now they become very overwhelmed by negative emotions, and they have a hard time maintaining that kind of peace in spite of the emotions. So they begin immediately taking desperate acts to control emotions, especially uncomfortable emotions. So what begins to happen is, as this person becomes emotionally closer to another person in a relationship, that sort of reaction will start to occur not only with their own emotions, but with the emotions that appear or they feel is appearing in their partner. So now you could imagine how this can get very difficult and very complicated. So one of the things that I see often happen with patients that I've worked with is, let's say, let me get real concrete here, give you a specific example. So this gentleman I was working with that I mentioned in the previous segment, he had a hard time whenever he saw his wife becoming emotional about anything. So he would approach the situation and say something like, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm kind of making this up to keep this simple. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. We're going to take care of this. We're going to fix it. You know, I don't want to see you like that. You know, come on, you're going to be okay. And basically he is doing everything in his power to stop her from feeling any sort of feelings that are uncomfortable. And why? Not because he's being malicious or mean. It's because seeing her like that is triggering his own sadness, his own hurt, because he cares about her and he hates that feeling, right? He hates that feeling. So not only is he reacting to it in her, he's actually more closer to the truth. He's reacting to his own feelings after seeing her like that. And what happens is that these people, they tend to fall in this interesting kind of category where they are usually like problem solvers. They're kind of perfectionists. They're very good at like getting things fixed quickly so that nobody has to feel any uncomfortable feelings. So, and while there's a time and place for everything, right? There's some situations, let me be clear, there's some situations where if there's an emotional problem, but it's being caused by a very kind of specific short-term, you know, issue that needs somebody to kind of step in and help the person to get it fixed, then that's fine. That's not a problem. There's nothing wrong with that. But what happens more often in relationships that start to get affected by this is that it's not a short-term little, you know, quick one little problem that happened one day that they need help with that made them emotional. It's more of a long-standing issue that's been going on maybe for months or for years, and it doesn't have a quick, you know, step one, step two, step three fix. It's an emotional issue, right? It's not a concrete, you know, outer world kind of issue that can be fixed by taking just a few steps. So, but the person that has difficulty with reacting to the feelings, they still want to fix it as quickly as possible. So they don't allow emotions to present. They don't allow emotions to surface. So it to the person who is with a person like this, it can often appear as, gosh, this person is so controlling. They're very, very controlling. They don't express any feelings. They even in some cases have a hard time expressing affection. And everything becomes very like kind of automated. Like everything just becomes kind of, this is how we handle things. This is what we do first. This is what we do second. This is what we do third. And everything kind of gets broken down, even emotional issues gets broken down into a step-by-step problem-solving process. And emotions, unfortunately, just do not work that way. So what happens is that one or both people begin suppressing their own feelings because they realize that it's either causing more problems. One of the issues that it could cause, actually, in some circumstances, is that instead of the person just trying to solve the problems in order not to experience the feelings, they actually get angry to sort of suppress the feeling, because as I've said here before in previous episodes, anger is like it's a secondary emotion. It always appears in response to another emotion that came first. So I always kind of jokingly used to tell, when I used to teach anger management, I used to tell patients, I used to get a little giggle out of it, that if you're walking around the house barefoot in your bedroom and you know stub your toe on the bed, what's the first word that flies out of your mouth? Usually it's not a good one, and it's usually expressed in some anger. I go, but why? Why are you angry? He said, well, because you got hurt, right? The hurt came first, and then you got angry in response. Most emotions, or every time anger appears, it's similar. It could be in response to fear. It could be a response to getting hurt. Could be a response to betrayal. Could be a response to whatever. But it's always a responsive emotion. It's always responding to something else. So some individuals, when they're feeling those uncomfortable feelings appear, right, and maybe their problem-solving approaches are not working, then they get more desperate, and that desperation could start to flare up into anger. And then the anger starts being used to make those other more uncomfortable feelings go away. Let's remember that anger sort of restores a sense of control to us. When we're angry, we feel more in control. So that could be another reaction. But this is one of the big killers of relationships, is that when the one person or both people, this could happen with both. Remember, I said this is in this particular example that I'm talking about only one person having this issue in the relationship. But in many relationships, it's both individuals. And both individuals are working not only to control their own emotions, uncomfortable emotions, but they're also working to control their partner's uncomfortable emotions. And one of the best things that we could do both for ourselves, for our partners, and for our relationships is to learn how to not be so reactive to uncomfortable feelings, right? So as I said, there's a time and place for everything. So there are some situations where, a partner says to you, hey, I'm hurting because you said this, or I'm hurting because this happened, or, you know, I'm hurting because, you know, I talked to you earlier, felt like you weren't listening to me. The reactive response could be like, oh, come on, I didn't really mean it. You know, you're misinterpreting what I said. No, no, no. And what are you doing? You're using your thoughts. You're using your, you know, certain forms of communication to make that feeling that they're having seem invalid, or to make the discomfort you're beginning to feel go away, right? So you resort to explanations, to logic, to explaining. I used to work with this therapist. He had a very funny way of putting this. He goes, again, very extreme, but he said, if I walk up to you and I start punching you in the face, right? Is it good enough for me to give you a really good explanation as to why I'm punching you in the face? Or do I just need to stop punching you in the face? So he kind of used that when people would say to him, patients would say, well, explain that I didn't mean it that way. Says, okay, but explanations don't work in these situations, right? It's about allowing, in this case, what we're talking about is allowing the feelings to be there, just recognizing, wow, I'm hearing you say that you're hurt. I'm that really makes me feel hurt, that you're feeling hurt. That's it. So simple, right? And then later on, after a little bit, you can say, you know, I understand where you're coming from. You know, I'll try next time to X, Y, and Z. And that's fine. But we have to just acknowledge and give attention to, I guess that's the best way to put it, just like we do with mindfulness practice, just like we do in our meditation, is that we're giving full, mindful attention to the emotions that are coming out. We're not skipping that part to just talk about how we're going to fix it so that we don't have to ever experience these feelings again. And that is the tendency that we see in a lot of relationships. And that is the same kind of pattern where emotional communication really starts to take a big hit, starts to get damaged. And this applies not only to our own relationship, to our own emotions, but also in our emotions experience in relationships. So I hope that this was clear. It's very, very dense, and I apologize for that. It's quite a challenge to talk about an issue like this in a short, episode. Again, I always, say to everyone listening, if you ever have any specific questions, concerns, comments, You could always email them to elucidatethereal@gmail.com or go over to the YouTube channel, find any one of my videos. Doesn't matter which one, just post a comment under it. I get a notification. Say, hey, I just heard your podcast, had a comment, question, concern. Also remember that I'm on Twitter now. I just opened the account just a couple weeks ago. So you can follow me over on Twitter. I'm often retweeting some really good stuff and putting some of my own stuff on there once in a while as well. All right. I really want to thank you for listening. I hope you found this information helpful today. And stay tuned. I'll be back later in the week with another episode. Thanks.